Well, now that we're in the throes of football season, Dr. Brand, I think it's an important time to talk about fan behavior. What are your thoughts on your students, your fans that are in the stands, and how they're supposed to act at football games?
You know, the avid fans we see at football and other sporting events too, basketball through the year and so on, they're an important part of the college environment. We really do want to encourage the students in particular from the colleges to go to these games and to root and cheer for their home team and wear the colors and shout and scream when their team wins. That's great. But they have to do it within a certain level of sportsmanship. They have to do it to show respect for the game and show respect for the opposing team.
How do we monitor it? Is it realistic to say that our athletics administrators in a stadium of 100,000 folks are going to be able to monitor the fans who are maybe making derogatory comments toward their opponent?
Absolutely. I think that's an obligation of the university or whoever it is sponsoring the games. The NCAA, for example, has to monitor our championships just the same as you have to monitor a football game, and the numbers of fans don't matter. Now, we don't want to monitor in a way that's oppressive. Clearly, that's not the case. But sometimes fans, including students, perhaps oiled by alcohol, carry on a way that is just not appropriate. It is unsportsmanlike, unfair to the opposing players, sometimes even dangerous to the opposing crowd. For example, I've heard of cases in which going into the game a day before the game when opposing tailgating is taking place, there's real danger to those people. And that's just ridiculous. We should not tolerate that. And the university administrations and the conferences have an absolute obligation to keep that under control.
You mentioned alcohol. How much is that a factor, and does there need to be a crackdown on some of the tailgating that takes place before games?
Well, first of all, you have to follow the law. We're not in any way encouraging people to break the law in terms of drinking age. I don't think alcohol is the cause. I do think it exacerbates the problem. I think if you add alcohol to an already aroused, avid fan base, you can sometimes get bad results, particularly if the people aren't sensible to really start with. So the fact of the matter is, I don't think alcohol is the sole problem, but it certainly makes things worse. I think the universities can keep things better under control if they make sure that when people enter the stadium, you know, they are sober. In our own events, the postseason events, we don't permit alcohol in any of our events, but some universities do, and to the extent that they do have an obligation to control it.
I want to get back to this thought of monitoring the environment. Again, if you have stadiums of 70, 80, 90,000 folks, don't we try and create a family environment of sorts? Now, when you're monitoring, when your athletics administrators are out there, as you said, having a responsibility to monitor that game environment, are they looking for curse words? Are they looking for, you know, pointed statements at opponents? What are they on the look for?
That's a very hard question. You know, sometimes we'll see groups of fans, not just students, but other groups of fans, I think, who go overboard. And often universities will have people in the stands, not in uniform necessarily. Sometimes people who work for the universities, they'll sit in amongst the students or amongst the fans. And there are certain sections, frankly, that are worse than others. And I think they have an obligation to keep that under control. We often get letters at the NCAA national office from families who say, you know, I took my young son or young daughter to the game, and unfortunately what was being said and the acting out that took place was just disgraceful, and I'm never going to go to a game from University X again. And that's really unfortunate. It's a black eye for the school. It's discouraging future fans from coming to the game. So I think there's a certain level of respect. It may seem like fun at the time, but it does have negative consequences. I think without creating a heavy hand, and one has to be sensible about this, I do think the universities have to keep it in control. And when you do find a group of fans, we hope it's a small group, that are acting out or being drunk or have rehearsed curses in advance, I think it's the obligation of the school to say, you are no longer invited to this game, and we don't want to see you again here.
And obviously, the national office can't monitor every game environment that's out there, and there are suggested sportsmanship practices For instance, there are sometimes student-athletes who will read a sportsmanship statement prior to the beginning of a game. But again, it gets down to that institutional issue. Hopefully our schools are doing everything they can to monitor their environments.
I think our schools try and do that to the best of their ability. The national office, of course, only has oversight for the postseason games, and we monitor those very closely. And, you know, men's and women's Final Four are great fun, but they're also family events, and we want to make sure that that's the case. If we don't take the early steps, say during the season, or when we start to see misbehavior, rowdy behavior that's really uncomfortable for many of the fans there, what we're really doing is we're giving permission to those people to undertake even more egregious behavior in the future, and that's where you get the riots, and that's where you get people hurt, and that's where we have a real problem and arrests take place. So, you know, let's keep it under control, let's cheer for our home teams, let's wear the colors and applaud and whistle, but let's keep it in sportsmanlike behavior.
All right, folks, well, you heard it here. Let's keep it positive and have some fun out there. Thanks, Dr. Brand.
It's my pleasure.